For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Come on in. Good morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare for the worship experience. Come on in. We welcome you in the house of worship. We welcome you in the house of praise. Lift up your hands. Join in the worship. We welcome you in the house of praise. Hey, hallelujah. We welcome you in the house of worship. We welcome you in the house of praise. Lift up your hands. Join in the worship. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you in the house of hey. We welcome you in the house of worship. We welcome you in the house of praise. Lift up your hands. Join in the worship. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you in the house of praise. Hallelujah. Come on in. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the house of worship, to the house of praise. Wherever you are at, you make that your dwelling place. That is the holy temple where God is present. And you are worshiping with us online. We thank God for the opportunity to be able to come together. Many of you are scattered, you for our online audience throughout this nation, and we are so grateful. But we have an opportunity to come together and worship God in the beauty of His holiness together this holiday season, this Advent season, where we celebrate our Lord's coming into this earth to save His people from their sins. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad when and mindful that God loved us just enough. So being reminded of what our Lord would ultimately do and who He is, our affirmations remind us of that. And so our modern affirmation, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is all over His works and whose will is ever directed to His children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. And with that, every heart says, amen. Sisters and brothers, we're going to ask that you would put your hands together for the Bethel Music Ministry at this time as they come in their own special way. Amen. Give them a hand. Amen. the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. Born is the King of Israel. That's Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our God and our King. Something about those Christmas hymns that bring it all together. We can get caught up on the pageantry, the hustle and the bustle of life, and miss the significant meaning of Christmas. It's about Christ, His coming into the world to save us. That child that was born would ultimately have to lay down his life. 33 and a half years later, but we celebrate his coming. And so when we exchange the gifts, it's symbolic of the gift of eternal life. We ought not ever forget that. The hymns bring it home to us. That's who we are. That's what we believe. And we ought not ever forget that Jesus is the true reason for the season. Am I right about it? It's about Him. Amen. Thank you, choir. My sisters and my brothers, as we celebrate our Lord's coming, we will light and have the reading of the Advent Litany. But before we do, it's praying time, church. And if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need Him right now. There's darkness in the world. Jesus was the light that shined in the midst of the darkness. And you and I, as His representatives, have to be light in a dark place sometimes. And so as we prepare our hearts and minds for prayer, let us remember our Bishop Frank J. Beard. Let us remember the entire Illinois Great Rivers Cabinet, those district superintendents who serve with excellence and diligence. Remember all of our sick and shut in, our caregivers. Let's pray for those. Pray for all of those who have lost loved ones. We know that the holiday season can be, and the Christmas season can be difficult sometimes for those who have lost loved ones. And so our hearts and prayers are with each and every one of you, those of you joining us online as well. As we do remember the sick and shut in, there may be some names that may not be on this sick and shut in list, but those of you who are joining us online, you can type their names in the comment section. God in His omniscience knows who they are, and He can touch them with the feeling of their infirmity. Let us lift up the Kaysen family, the Wilcox family, Grant Morgan, Brother Charles Burke, Brother Virgil Gilliam, Lois Coleman, Reverend and Mrs. Stewart, Cedric Kraft, Karen Thompson, Freddie Jackson, Brother Oliver Moody, Sister Evelyn Coates, Sister Joyce Johnson, and Sister Erna Roberts need your prayers this morning. There may be others. You can type their names in the comment section. As we prepare our hearts and minds to go to the throne of mercy and grace, sweet Spirit, in this place, Spirit of the Lord, the sweet expression, each face, yeah, 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 hallelujah. sweet heavenly dove, with us, with your love, and for these blessings, I lift our voice in praise. Hearts and minds focused toward heaven. Abba, Father, Daddy, gracious and loving God, thou who rules and super rules the universe, you are supreme, far above heaven and earth. You transcend the entire universe, for you created it all, spoke it into existence, and yet you can hear the prayers of your children. Father, we come as humble as we know how, Lord, asking and thanking you for this day. You've allowed us to see a day in which we have not seen before. Father, being reminiscent on the reason why we are here, and it's because of Jesus that we assemble corporately in this worship experience. Those joining us online throughout the nation, throughout the world, we ask a blessing upon them. Father, each and every one under the sound of my voice needs to hear from you on today. There truly is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And so, Father, we ask, oh God, that you would invade this worship experience. Press upon hearts and minds the importance and significance of having the right relationship with you. That you are our Heavenly Father, and that you can prosper us in this life according to our obedience, your plan, and your purpose for us. Lord, the petition of names has gone before you as we ask now humbly that you would hear our prayer, O Lord. Touch the sick and the shut, and the names have been mentioned. There may be other names in the comment section, God, on those joining us online. We ask that you would move by your Spirit. Allow those who are afflicted to feel your touch. We pray for healing where there needs to be healing, O God. We know sickness is not of you, but you allow things to happen that we can cast our cares upon you. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy in our time of need. So, Father, have your way in us and through us. We ask it, O God, this day. Lord, those who have made their way here in the worship experience, Father God, give them an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. We thank you, Lord, that they push their way through. There's trials and tribulations on every hand, but we know a burden bearer. We know a heavy load share. We know a way maker. So have your way, O God, in us and through us, and empower us to be empowered disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Guide us into all truth, into all goodness, that your name is glorified and magnified. Lord, as we stand as beacons of light, reflective of the true light that is Jesus the Christ. God, you've blessed Bethel to be a beacon of light in this community for 110 years. And for that, we are grateful. We are thankful, Lord. We bless your wonderful and marvelous and holy name. Strengthen us, O God, in the days ahead. We thank you as we come on the cusp of a new year, that we're still standing, O God. We bless you. We know that we could not do it without you. You've strengthened us. You've kept us. And most of all, you have redeemed us. So we say, thank you, God. We bless you. Father, we ask and would be remiss if we ask that you didn't touch the less fortunate during this Christmas tide, this season of giving. Those who need a blessing. God, we pray that those out there in a dead and dying world can see light and that they will be encouraged and inspired to share the love. Benevolent acts, oh God, just random benevolent acts can bless somebody's life. We thank you that you've empowered us to be able to do that. And so, Father, those who are in need, we ask that you would provide and make a way for them that they will not want. And ultimately, Lord, that their souls can receive that redeeming grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Touch those behind prison walls, God. Let them know that they're never alone and you're always with them. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And God, we thank you for the liberties that we have in Jesus the Christ. We ask these and all other blessings in the mighty, majestic, and marvelous name of your darling Son, Jesus the Christ. It's in his name that we pray and believe. And with that, every heart says, amen. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sweet heaven leader, stay right here with us. With your love, and for these blessings, we lift our hearts in prayer. The doubt you'll know when we shall leave this place. Hallelujah. Sisters and brothers, we thank God for this blessed day. We just want to shout out those December birthdays that we do here at Bethel. Brother Lacalis Reed, Beverly Cavallero, Audrey Coleman, Brother Lee Hamer had a birthday. Rashad Reed, Sarah Smiles celebrates a birthday and celebrated a birthday on the 14th. Brother Joe Hudson, Bill Marshall, Alex Kilgore, Ramsey Reed, Angela Kaysen, Monica Williams, Sister Marilyn Ragler celebrates a birthday on today. Reverend Felton Stewart, Eugenia Holsom, Brother Alan Kilgore celebrates a birthday. Andrea Reed Urance celebrates a birthday on the 26th. Sandra Burke and Miles Andrews. Sisters and brothers, let us give those who are having and celebrating December birthdays, give them a hand, amen. And not to be outdone, James and June Tyler celebrate 50 years of marital bliss. Then Edward and Beverly Caballero, 45 years. And then we have Lacalis and Sharon Reed celebrating 51 years of marital bliss. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Sisters and brothers, I didn't call her name, but please keep Sister Marva Stewart lifted up in prayer, amen. She's a little under the weather, but we know God to be a healer, all right? Keep her lifted up, and there may be others as well. We also want to encourage and implore you at this time, those of you joining us online, We give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. It is very much a privilege to be able to give, and giving is very much a part of worship. So we encourage you to go to www.peoriabethel.org. You can submit your tithe and your offering. Those of you who are in person, you can already do that. We already have that set up for you to give. Contactless giving, amen. But we encourage you, and we could not make it without your support, your gifts. We thank you. Through your gifts, we are able to continue the mission and ministry of this local church. Through your gifts, we're able to provide support for as community outreach. I'll give you a quick praise report. There were some children at the junior high, and through your gifts, your love and support, and our outreach, we were able to get tennis shoes for the junior high school basketball team, Tree Win, the girls and the boys. That's providing a need, and you did that through your gifts, through your love. And it is much more blessed to give than to receive. So we give God the glory. Know that it's helping and making a difference. Amen. As we prepare to give thanks for the gifts, all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given unto thee. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen. At this time, sisters and brothers, we will have the lighting of the Advent candle. We will do the Advent litany reading, amen. And then after that, we'll have a presentation by Sister D. Scott. Before Brother Jim comes, I will read the scripture lessons that go with that passage. And I'll just do that from here. Our first scripture lesson with this Advent litany will come from the Old Testament prophet Micah, verses 1 and 2, Micah the 5th chapter, and I'm reading from the King James Version. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting to everlasting. And our New Testament scripture reading will come from the Gospel according to St. Luke, verses 39 through 45. You'll find these words penned by Luke, the gospel writer. Starting at verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded upon mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. The word of God for the people of God, which is blessed by God. We'll have the litany reading by Brother Jim Tyler.
Sometimes when we are trying something new, or when we are facing a difficult decision, or when we want to celebrate something, or when we just feel lost and alone and uncertain about life, the universe, and everything, we need a blessing. We don't always think of it that way or word it like that. We may say we need advice or support or champions or someone to come along beside and lift us up again so we can see more than the tops of our shoes. We seek a blessing. For many of us, we go home, we ask mom, we talk to dad or brothers and sisters, close friends, those who grew up with us, those who knew us best. We want them alongside. We want to be in their presence. Somehow we know that being there, being home, will make all things better. Maybe it won't be fixed or solved or wished away, but at least we won't be alone. We won't be alone. We seek a blessing. Mary, faced with an incomprehensible burden and gift, ran to Cousin Elizabeth's home, looking for someone who knew a little of what she was going through, looking for a place to hide until the reality of her condition could become something real. And she received a blessing. The prophet Micah spoke of a blessing coming to an unexpected place, an unassuming town. Yet God's grace would become the means through which God would bless the whole world. Bethlehem, the little town of blessing. We seek a blessing.
Amen.
We light these candles, the candle of hope, of peace, of joy, and of today, love, as a sign that we know blessing and we know waiting for blessing to be felt and lived. We light these candles as a sign that we will seek a blessing. It's time to go home.
The candle of hope, peace, joy, and love. Sisters and brothers, God is love, and He loved us enough to send His Son Jesus. We must not forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. Amen. At this time, before our choir comes, I'm going to turn it over to Sister D. Scott. She has a presentation.
Good morning, church. It gives me great pleasure to make this presentation this morning. It is the annual Christmas cheer presentation that Staff Parish does for our paid staff. So without further ado, our total that we receive this year is $1,233.28. So thank you, Bethel, for your generosity. And then if we could have Pastor and Mrs. Parks, and down here, and Justin. So, Bethel humbly submits this check to you as your Christmas cheer, and with our thanks and gratitude for your service to this church.
God bless you. Thank you.
And Justin, Bethel humbly submits this check to you and your family as our gratitude for your service to this church. Thank you.
Amen.
And then Sister Godhigh's check, there's no one here to receive her, so we'll get that to her on tomorrow. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. We bless the Lord, and we thank him for his gifts. Thank you, Bethel, for all that you do. It is much more blessed to give than to receive, especially this holiday season. Thank you so much.
Give the choir a hand as they come their own special way.
our God, church.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in the New Testament, in the book of Philippians, the second chapter, verses 6 through 16. And I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And the Word of God says, speaking of Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. The word of God for the people of God.
Oh, how marvelous it is.
It doesn't matter how big the problem may be. Why? Because we know the problem solver. We know the way maker. He's bigger than any circumstance we are facing. I don't care what the doctor said. If you didn't get a second opinion, that's your fault. You need to talk to Jesus. And let me tell you something. If he doesn't heal you in this life, as long as you know him, he's healed you to the utmost, because next is eternal life. That's the kind of God we serve. You got to know that he'll make a way. It doesn't matter how big. Jesus, where would we be if it had not been for the Lord on our side? I am grateful as we come and are fastly approaching another Christmas. And then, right after that, a new year. My sisters and my brothers, has God been good to you? Even in the midst of a global pandemic, he still sits high and he still looks low. He's still on the throne. And I am grateful. My responsibility is to break the bread of life, to share a word with you on today. And certain things we've preached it before, it's been familiar to some of us, but I was led this week. We had to do a pre-record for a service for next week, and so I was a little bit under the gun. But you know what? God always works some things out. That's when he does his best work, when we start sweating. And then you realize that it's not about you. You got to give it to Jesus. And I realized that a call to preach is a call to prepare. We have to be exegetically correct in our execution. But sisters and brothers, if the Holy Spirit isn't in charge, what are you doing it for? And so I had to rely, and I said, well, let me go back, since this thing is about Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, in our Bible study, we're studying the epistle to the Philippians. And if this is about the incarnation, let's stay right there in that vein. And so I took the liberty to kind of do a refresher on what we're doing, and then we still get fresh and new insights, because the Word of God is inexhaustible. You can read it over and over and over again and still get a concept that you might not have grasped before. And so when I was looking at this, Philippians, the second chapter, verses 6 through 16, Sister D read, but I want to focus our attention on verses 9 through 14. I'm sorry, verses 9 through 15 for our sermon text. And before we do, let us go to the Lord in prayer, because we can do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Lord, send your anointing. Let it fall. Let the power, the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Father God, it's preaching time. It's time where Tyson Parks decrease and the manifestation of your precious Holy Spirit, the true preacher, come forth. Hide me behind the cross. Them that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You are my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. Every heart says amen. Fall on me. Hallelujah. Once again, for your reading, starting at verse 9. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church, the believers. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12 says this: Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I want to draw your attention back to verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights. And what I want to use for a subject thought: shine Jesus' light in the world. Shine Jesus' light in the world. Sisters and brothers, many of you know that we are supposed to be, and if you didn't know, we are supposed to be lights in a dark place. Jesus is the true light, but as his representatives, we are to reflect his light in a dead, dying, dark, sin-sick world. The Apostle Paul was reminding the Philippian believers of this. They were in the midst of pagan culture, pagan idolatry, of Philippi was nestled in northern Greece or Macedonia. And that was a pagan culture. If you studied Greco-Roman mythology, you know they had a plethora of different gods. They had, and just like this day and age, there's a whole bunch of different gods. We've gone from worshiping the God of hosts to having a host of different gods. Some people, it's their car. Some people, it's their spouse. Some people, it's their job. Some people, it's their children. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter. You need to make Jesus your first choice. That's important. Some people worship their bank account, their 401k, their investments. Anything or any person, place, thing, or idea that you put before the will of God in your life is a form of idolatry. And you got to be careful. So as we studied this epistle and we studied it in Bible study, Paul in this second chapter, he got a little bit deep and revelatory because he had sound Christology. Remember that Paul once was a persecutor of Christians. He would have men and women put in prison who named the name of Jesus Christ. He was opposed to Christianity. He was trying to figure it out for himself. But then God got a hold of him on that Damascus road, and you can reference Acts, the 8th chapter, tells about 8th and 9th chapter, talks about Paul's conversion experience, but also in chapter 3 of this text, of this epistle, he also gives a little backdrop about his background as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had it all together because Paul knew and was an expert of the law. But how many of you know there's a difference in knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus? There is a difference. I want to encourage you to get to know him, not know about him. There's a difference. And you know, undoubtedly, after his conversion experience, the Apostle Paul had people, he had detractors. He had those Judaizers accusing him, attacking his good character. Now he's a proclaimer of the gospel, so he had to endure some persecution. People trying to distort his message. The gospel never changes. It's always about Jesus. It's about the death, burial, and resurrection. Some of the oldest creeds tell us that Christ came, Christ died, Christ is risen, and Christ is coming again. And we ought not ever forget that. Now, in this Advent season, we celebrate what? His coming, the birth. His coming into the world. Now, the Apostle Paul, as they were attacking his Christian character, he still had to show forth love, grace, the joy of his salvation. You can't let people take away from who you are. Even though they're going to talk about you, they talked about Jesus too, they talked about Paul, they talked about me too. So what makes you think they're not going to talk about you? It happens. But my brothers and sisters, we got to understand, you know, this theme in the Advent is love. Today, love. It was God's unconditional love toward us is what saved us, because through his love, Jesus came into the world. He was the light of the world. You know, yesterday we celebrated a person in Methodism, Charles Wesley. And he and his brother are considered the founders of Methodism. And he wrote numerous hymns that had great theology, great Christology. The Apostle Paul in this passage talks about Jesus being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was coequal, co-eternal. He was in the beginning with God. He was there. And Jesus was that light. I know we say it's the Big Bang. Scientists say it was the Big Bang. It wasn't the Big Bang. It was Jesus. He spoke it and it came to pass. So that light that shines in the darkness is Jesus. And that light came into the world. All right. So Charles Wesley wrote a hymn. Hark the herald angels sing. Jesus, the light of the world. Glory to the newborn king. Jesus is the light of the world. Brothers and sisters, we ought not ever forget that. And there are passages in the scriptures that remind us of who Jesus is and who we are supposed to be in him. The Apostle Paul in verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We're not Jesus' light. We're to reflect his light. And sometimes the only Jesus that the people out there in that dark world are going to see is the Jesus that they see in you. So we're always supposed to be light in a dark place. You know, walk in the light, the beautiful light. Somewhere the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. I'm going to ask you this question. Who's the light of the world? Jesus. The light of the world. Y'all get it? So I ask you that question again. Or I implore you to shine Jesus' light in the world. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of chaos and confusion. But each of you can share that light. What did we do today? We lit the Advent candles to remind us of the true light, and that is Jesus. But each of us is responsible for taking that light out. We're going to hammer this home next week too, because it's a new year coming. We're still in the midst of a pandemic, and for some folks, that's darkness. But we have to be that light. We have to be the light. There are some scriptures that help us to understand, and this particular passage parallels John. The Bible never contradicts itself. We can use scripture to complement and support and confirm what we believe. I don't argue and wrestle scripture with anybody. That's unwise and unfruitful. And it engenders more strife, the Apostle Paul says. But you know what? When you know what you believe, why you believe it, and you can defend it, that's called in theology, we call that apologetics. That's knowing the truth. And what can the truth do? It'll set you free and make you free every time. And so, John, the Revelator, and we'll talk about this next week too, in his first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, when you drop down to that 14th verse, it says that, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That truth is Jesus. Now, in that first chapter of John 1, the first 14 verses is known as a prologue. Well, there's a metaphor in there called light. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. And the Apostle Paul confirms it. See, those apostles was on the same page. They wasn't contradicting one another. And so with Jesus being the light, he's the light that shined in the very beginning. And we have to know that. Because there's a lot of false lights out there. Don't you know Satan disguises himself as an angel of light? But he's a liar from the very beginning, and we have to be careful. You have to be able to discern truth from error. That's important. And my responsibility is to guide you on this journey called life, but guide you to the light. Because I want you to come to the light. That light is Jesus. I'm supposed to reflect his light, and I got to take it out to a dead and dying world. I gave you guys some examples because of in my professional experience as a chaplain, I've seen people be in some pretty dark situations. As a pastor, we administer pastoral care. I've seen some folk be in dark situations when sickness comes about. We're supposed to take that light with us, aren't we? Yeah. It's something about when the pastor show up and I see their countenance change. Listen, as a pastor, I've had to go to the hospital. When I see the chaplain come in there, I just perked up like, man, oh, thank you, Jesus. That's the Lord letting you know he's with you. I was in a dark situation, but there's some light. We got to take that light out, brothers and sisters. We have to be beacons of light. Some of us have loved ones suffering from drug addiction, drug afflictions. Be the light. Don't close up, never close up your bowels of compassion to people who are struggling. You might be the only light that they need, and see, to spur them and get them on the right path.
Make sure you shine in Jesus' light in the world. That world out there is full of a lot of darkness. The Apostle Paul said, even in the first century, they was in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Are we seeing some of them same froward patterns in this contemporary culture? The lies that are being perpetrated. You don't know what's real and what's fake. I stopped watching the news. Because it can get a bit depressing. Am I right about it? You don't know who to trust. That's why I don't put my trust in man. I put my trust in Jesus. Am I right about it? There's darkness all around. But I'm so glad that he called. I used to walk in darkness, but I seen that great light. That light is Jesus. And when I was in the midst of darkness, he called me from darkness into his marvelous light. And now I want to be able to share that light and share that light abroad. Bethel has been a beacon of light to this community. 110 years we have stood. We've been that city on a hill that cannot be hid, that can show forth the light of Jesus. That is important, my brothers and my sisters. You know, Jesus' birth was prophesied in Isaiah some 750 years before he came. Sisters and brothers, we look back to what has already been accomplished. We're in this dispensation of grace. We are in the church age. We look back to what has been fulfilled, but it all takes faith. And if it's a little cloudy, if there's a little darkness, brothers and sisters, you need some light to be able to see. Am I right about it? And I'm here to tell you today, without any hesitation or reservation, that Jesus is the light. You have to believe it. You have to receive it. I've seen so many young people in Peoria where we're coming together and we're meeting. People are wanting hope. Because we have young people who are killing each other in the streets. We have over 33 homicides. We have young black males who are in trouble. They are in darkness and they need light. And so it is imperative. It is my call and my responsibility. I'm not talking about anybody else. I know what God has called for me to do. I have to be the light in the midst of darkness. Sometimes it's a conversation, but the greatest weapon we have, church, is prayer. Prayer changes things. That can empower people to be lights in a dark place. Am I right about it? That's what we have to do. That's what we're called and commissioned to do. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he was being accused of his good Christian character, now someone who was formerly a blasphemer, now he want to preach Jesus, and the Judaizers got mad, them religious elite, those erudite scholars want to start attacking him and adding to the sacrifice of Christ. They wanted to add the law. Brothers and sisters, there's always going to be people that will set up roadblocks in your way. Don't get discouraged. Don't let your light flicker. All right? You're going to be challenged. It happens. But you have to keep the main thing, and the focus is always to be about Jesus. Don't get discouraged. Don't get distracted. Paul already said, you're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. It's people calling evil good and good evil. They're calling right wrong and wrong right. These things are happening. But you have to keep walking in the light. That's Jesus. And if you are struggling, I encourage you to get on Bible study, because we hammer this thing home. We got prayer conference call. We got to be in the fellowship of the believers. We have to encourage each other, because the world is going one way and God's people are going another way. And so we got to be the light to guide those people. That is important. for each of us. You know, some of the oldest creeds affirm this passage because it deals with Jesus' humility. He humbled himself. He came in the likeness of a man. He was a child. Sisters and brothers, when you can grasp this, that the creator and sustainer of the universe, the one who spoke the world into existence, took on flesh. He was spirit with God. He was, before the beginning began, he already was, but he came in the likeness of a man. He was humbled to where he was a child. Mary held God. Think about that. Mary, the Blessed Virgin, she's blessed above all others. We don't worship her, but she is blessed. And some of, and the Apostles' Creed, one of the older creeds, affirms that. Because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. So she held God, an infant. But his humanity was never to be divided from his deity. That's why I said Mary held God. Some people can't grasp that. They want to separate who Jesus is. And that's why Paul is letting them know in this passage. He humbled himself and became obedient. And the gospel is in this passage too. Because when he became obedient, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God ultimately died for us in his humanity. He died in his humanity, but he always was God. He never, and this is a little bit theological, but it's relevant. Jesus never set aside his deity. He set aside the constant uses of the prerogatives of his deity. So he identified with us in every way. He was hungry. He was tired. He got sad. He even had a little righteous indignation. You know, when we studied the gospel, when he tore up the temple, they turned his father's house into a den of thieves. He got indignant with them. But that's all right. Paul tells us, be angry, but sin not. There is such thing as righteous indignation. If it's wrong, call it wrong. See, what's happening in this contemporary age, we let wrong be right and not saying anything. We have a moral plane and a standard that we have to set the bar. Don't deviate from it. That's being light in a dark place too. If they're having a hard time maintaining their integrity at the job, well, you be the one to guide them to the light. Don't you compromise your convictions to fit in with the crowd. Shine Jesus' light in the world. Even amongst clergy, I find myself, we have to do that. You know? Because especially now what we're dealing with, even in the denomination. If it was sin then, it's sin now. I don't change it. And it would behoove us to try to reinterpret Scripture. It means no more and any less than it did at the time it was written. It is God's infallible, inerrant word. It's truth without any mixture of error. You got to get it straight. Y'all remember that one. And brothers and sisters, man feels that they've become increasingly more intelligent. But Paul reminds us here, wherefore God, after Jesus died, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Guess what? In every tongue, verse 11, in every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the praise, glory, and honor of God. Listen, you gonna confess him. Either in this life or the life to come. But you will say, Jesus is Lord. Now, my responsibility is to shed a little light today.
If you confess Jesus as Lord on this side, you won't face condemnation if you've been changed. But everybody that confesses on the other side, you know those high and mighty folk? If they didn't confess them on this side, it's going to be eternally too late. Trust me, and everybody that's in hell now, they believe, but it's too late. You need to confess him as Lord on this side. Because if it's on the other side, that's going to be unto condemnation. That's why we got a responsibility to share Jesus' light in a dark world, in the world. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there is no other. Jesus is the way. He's not just the good way. He's not just the great way. He's not just the gateway. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to see Jesus, you gotta live right. You must be saved from all your sin. More than not, you must be, got to be, born again. And when you've been born again, that gives you the power to walk right, the power to talk right, the power to be a light in a dark place. Are you sharing his light today? Will you share his light today? That's the challenge. Sharing Jesus' light in the world today. Make sure, my brothers and sisters, that you know him. Oh, that hymn said, walk in the light, beautiful light. Somewhere the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, I said Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. He'll light it up if you let him. Sharing Jesus' light in the world. I give God the glory. I give God the praise. I know that they said one thing is right in the world, but my Bible tells me something different. And I'm determined to walk with Jesus on this journey called life, through hard trials, through tribulations. Sometimes my body is racked with pain, but I'm telling you, he gives me the strength to keep on going. And I hope that you can see that light of Jesus in me, because I see him in some of y'all. Just keep on shining that light. Jesus is the Lord. Give God a hand clap of praise. This Advent season, some people are struggling out there. They need some assurance. This season is about Jesus, and we would be remiss if we didn't offer an invitation to Christian discipleship. As we stand all over the building, some people need to be drawn to the light. To know him, you can come today. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. You can identify with him. He also says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not I, but it is Christ that liveth within me. In the life that I now live, I live in the flesh, and I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what he would ultimately do. Won't you come? You can come to the altar. You can symbolically give your hand to the preacher, but God has your heart. You can come. He's the light of the world. Come to the light. Come on. Is there one? Facebook, you can join us. You can go to www.peoriabethel.org. You can hit connect with Bethel, interested in Bethel. Myself or someone from membership care will get in contact with you. You can come to the light. Are you sharing Jesus' light? I'm sharing them with you. Now you have to share. Those of you who are in the light, you got to take that light out. Family, loved ones, friends. Let them know that Jesus, the light of the world. Is there one for special prayer this Advent season? Is there one for special prayer? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Is there another for special prayer this holiday season? Jesus, the light of the world. Is there another for special prayer? We can pray with you, pray for you. You can come to the altar and know that God is able. You may be seated. You can stretch your right hand of faith to our dear sister. Stretch your right hand of faith to our dear sister. Father God, we thank you for this day, this time, and this opportunity. Lord, we lift up holy hands to worship you, and we extend them toward our sister. Father, we pray now for your divine healing. We pray that everything works out. Father, bless our sister. We ask that you will continue to strengthen her. Father, there is nothing, and we claim that in the name of Jesus, but it's precautionary tests. And we just ask, oh God, that you will be with her, guide the doctors, strengthen her, keep her, let her faith be unwavered, let her be able to be a light bearer even when she goes and gets the test. For Lord, she did it for her pastor when he came to visit her. She shared her light and shed her light. So allow her to know that she is more than a conqueror through him that loved her. And Father, that she can take that light out. Let her know that you were with her, that you will never leave her nor forsake her. We ask it in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. And we declare and decree healing by his shed blood. We thank you, God. We bless you. We honor you. Let every heart say amen. All right, sister. Lord bless you. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Share Jesus' light in the world. We pray something was said to encourage, to inspire. Sometimes go back over and read it for yourself. That's important. Apostle Paul was letting them know, you gotta shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And brothers and sisters, you know we're facing a lot of chaos and confusion out there, but we gotta be the light of Jesus in a dead and dying dark world. Till we come together again, the Lord has blessed us where one will rise up in the midst on next week. Sister Johnny Locker will share the good news next week. Amen. Y'all come back and watch God use her. She has been an encouragement to this pastor on this Christian journey. She's been letting her light shine throughout the district, as many of you have. I thank God for each and every one of you. Bethel, you are a shining light in Peoria. Our ministry of presence is well reaching, and that's because of you being the light. Amen. As we stand all over the building. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shed a tear no more. He gives you to endure till we meet. Oh, one more time from the top. Doxology and benediction. Sisters, make sure you shine Jesus' light in the world. Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of His Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us all now, henceforth, and forevermore. Love of the Father, grace of the Son, communion with the Holy Spirit, the triune God, these three are one. The Church of the Living God says a threefold. shine Jesus' light in the world. God bless you. You know why? Because he's been so good to me, and I just can't tell it all.